take up the Bible that's in front of you in the pew. I have several readings to make, and I will read them to you. We'll not read alternatively, but we'll read as we look up these scriptures. First of all, I want to bring you to John's Gospel, chapter 20. John's Gospel, chapter 20, and we're reading from verse 19 to verse 23. Verse 19 of John's Gospel, chapter 20. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, where the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Turning back to the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel. And as we read these portions, let us keep in mind especially the reference to the Spirit of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 48. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high. Turning over to the Acts of the Holy Spirit through his apostles at the chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And then turning over to the fourth chapter of the same great book, we hear about a prayer meeting that the apostles had in this chapter. And then we read in verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And then turning over to the fifth chapter, of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And God shall stamp with his own divine approval these readings from his very own infallible book. I have a very important message for you from the Word of God today. If you would open your Bible with me at that great fifth chapter of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. And I'd like to call your attention to verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. It is God's command. It is God's will. It is God's purpose that every believer should be constantly and continually filled with the Spirit of God. We need to ask ourselves the question, every blood-bought believer, right now, am I filled with the Spirit? Am I living every day in the enjoyment and empowerment of the Spirit of God? Or am I lacking in joy, lacking in power, lacking in Bible reading, lacking in prayer, and lacking in enthusiasm and love for our Lord Jesus Christ? Only you can answer that question. May the Spirit of God Himself search our hearts today as we come to this subject. The importance of this subject for God's people cannot be emphasized and underscored enough. Please notice that the first thing Jesus Christ spoke about when he rose from the dead, as we saw in that chapter in Luke's Gospel and in John's Gospel, was about the Holy Spirit. And please note the preface to every reference to the Spirit is a reference of the duties of God's children. What is my duty as a child of God? My duty as a child of God is to be a witness. And as a Father sent his Son, so God the Son has sent every child of his to be a witness. But immediately, the Lord speaks of witnessing. He says you require power. You require strength. You require ability. You require an endowment with strength. And he says, I am giving you now the assurance that you can have that power. You can have that ability. You can have that strength by being filled with the Spirit. And he breathed upon the disciples in the upper room, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. When we come to Acts chapter 1, the Lord is about to ascend to heaven. The first thing he spoke about when he rose from the dead was the necessity of God's children to be filled with the Spirit. The last thing he said before he was caught up into heaven was the same thing, Acts chapter 1. He says, wait for the promise of the Father. And he says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No effectual witnessing apart from the empowerment and endowment of the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 2 that we read of the first Pentecost and the advent of the Spirit of God and the entering of the full gospel age when everyone at that prayer meeting, 120 of them were filled with the Spirit of God. And that was not a once and for all happening. For in Acts chapter 4, Peter and all his friends were filled again with the Holy Spirit. And as we go through the book of the Acts, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is repeated again and again and again. This should be the constant, daily, moment by moment experience of the children of God, that they are filled with the Spirit. Measure yourself today. Ask yourself, how far do I reach in this standard? This, the eternal purpose of God for me as a blood-washed believer. He saved you to fill you with the Holy Ghost, to be an effectual witness to the one who loved you and gave himself for you. So it is an absolute necessity that you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That is why the apostle said, we're not to seek wine drinking and excessive wine drinking. We are to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Mr. Nicholson used to call it God's alternative for the Christian to getting drunk in the pub is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Could I say some elementary things about this subject that need to be stressed? Number one, the Holy Spirit has come. We don't need to go through contortions of our bodies or agonies in our heart or in our mind or in our conscience that the Holy Spirit would come. The Holy Spirit is here. He has come. Just as truly that as Christ came to Bethlehem, the historical fact that Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea. So the historical fact is that on the day of Pentecost, after the last Passover and the offering of Christ and his death and his burial and resurrection, the Spirit of God has come. If the Spirit of God hadn't have come, there would be no church here. There'd be no Christians here. There'd be no reading of his word. There'd be no praying here. The Spirit of God has come. And we need to remember that. And we need to lay hold upon it. Thank God he has come. He came and he abides. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost abides in my heart now because the Spirit of God has come. Oh, spread the tidings round. Oh, spread the tidings round. The Comforter has come. The Lord Jesus came. He had to go back to heaven. But the Comforter has come forever to the hearts of the believer. He never believes. He never leaves the believer. The Lord said, I will send you another Comforter, and he will abide with you forever. He doesn't forsake us in physical death. He'll be with us, the Comforter, the revealer of the Savior, showing the things of Christ to me. And the same Holy Ghost that indwells this body of mine, redeemed by the precious blood, will be with indwelling me forevermore. And when 10 billion trillion years have fled in eternity, the same blessed Spirit will be in my heart in the glory land. He remains. He abides with us forever. Christ shed his blood not only to save us from sin, but to purchase for us the blessed gift of the Holy Ghost and his abiding power. Secondly, let me say, the Holy Spirit has come into every redeemed heart. Some people teach the erroneous doctrine that only until you receive an experience which they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit do you possess the Holy Spirit. This, of course, is utterly and totally condemned in the Word of God. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, there are many scriptures there proving that the believer, every believer, has the Holy Spirit. But verse 9 of that chapter says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And there is no difference between the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ, they are one and the same person, as is clear in this verse. And in this verse it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Spirit, he is none of his. So, every child of God has the Holy Spirit. The old hymn that says, as soon as my all I venture, on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I had peace with God. So the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit has come into every redeemed heart. But there is a difference in you as a child of God possessing the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit possessing you. You can be spirit indwelt, and if you're a child of God, you are spirit indwelt. But that doesn't mean of necessity that you are infilled with the Spirit. Every believer is indwelt by the Spirit, but every believer is not infilled by the Spirit. Every believer is spirit inhabited, but every believer is not of necessity spirit controlled. Who is in control of your life? Are you in control yourself, or have you abandoned yourself to the mighty operation and endowment with power of the Spirit of God? That's the question that we've got to face. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Ghost got you? Every part of you. Every niche and every cranny of your heart. Has the Spirit of God got you? You know, my dear Christian believer, nothing can substitute for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And the trouble is that God's people today think that they can in some way make an effective contribution to service for Christ in their own puny efforts. And so we have well-tailored meetings, we have attractive services, we have entertaining programs, we have clever preaching, we have appealing performances and excitement, and people speak in tongues in the charismatic delusion. They please the flesh and they present an unoffending gospel, but it is all a sounding brass. It is all a tinkling of cymbal. There is no power. What the believing church needs today is a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. And if you are honest, my dear child of God, what you need in your life is a real, definite infilling of the Spirit of God. And that's what your preacher needs. And that's what you should be praying every day for your preacher, that he would be filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes in answer to prayer. Ye receive not because ye ask not. You should start the day with a prayer for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And you shouldn't do it as a sort of form. You should believe that God will answer that prayer for you. And you will be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me say that the infilling of the Spirit of God is different to being born again of the Spirit of God. When I am saved, I was born of the Spirit. I was baptized by the Spirit of God into his body. By one Spirit are you all baptized into one body. The birth is the family truth, the new birth. and the baptism of the church truth concerning what conversion is. I became part of the true church by a mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit the day that God saved me. But that's not the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let me take you over in the book of the Acts and the great chapter we have concerning the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Remember, the Apostle Paul was greatly angered, and he went down to Damascus. Chapter 9 of the book of Acts, he went down to Damascus, and he was there to persecute the people of God. God met him. God saved him. And he went into Damascus blind physically, but his heart's eyes had been opened. He was a child of God. And if you turn to verse 17 of Acts chapter 9, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, please look at it carefully, he said, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. So he was a Christian. He wasn't a Masonic member or an arch-purple man. He was a Christian. He was saved by the grace of God. He was Brother Saul. So he was saved. But he came to say something too. He came to say, you're going to get your natural sight back. I have come that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, the infilling of the Holy Spirit is subsequent to conversion. Now you say, could a man be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost at the same time? Of course he could. The Lord could do that. But that is not the usual way in which the Spirit of God comes in with infilling power into the lives of believers, just like Paul. He was already saved. He had been 3 days a converted man. Of course, you have the tremendous word in the Bible of John the Baptist. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. What about that one? I said that to a theologian one day, and it fairly shook him. Says, I, God could fill him even from his birth. But that's an extraordinary performance in the providence and purpose of God. But we are just ordinary Christians. And I believe that the infilling of the Spirit of God is usually after the person is saved by the grace of God. And I know in my own personal experience that was what happened to me. I learned after some years in the Christian ministry that I lacked power, that I lacked the strengthening, enabling of the Spirit of God. And down in the old church, 4 of us met, and we prayed all day and all night and into the following night, and God met with us. And each one of us had that special anointing with the Spirit of God. But that wasn't a once and for all experience. Because these apostles and the apostle Paul over and over again was filled with the Spirit of God. And this is a constant, continuing experience to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now when a person is filled with the Spirit of God, something happens. What is the proof of the infilling of the Spirit of God? Well, first of all, when a person's filled with the Spirit of God, he gets unity in his heart with other believers for what? The salvation of souls. For the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit is in order that we might be effectual witnesses. That's why the Holy Spirit indwells us, to give us that power, that strength, that effectuality and effectiveness to win man to Christ. You can't do that in your own power. Go and try it, and you'll be a miserable failure, and you'll be dismayed. And many a Christian has quit doing anything for God because they attempted it in the strength of the flesh. What we need is a mighty empowering of the Spirit of God. And it makes Christians have one great aim and objective, to bring others to Christ. How much do you desire the salvation of others? That will test you in how much you are filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God gives those who are filled a liberty of utterance. The Apostle Paul said that utterance might be given unto me. When I am asked to sign my autograph, I always put that text, Ephesians 6:19-20, that utterance might be given unto me. You have stood in the presence of unsaved people. You wanted to witness to them, but you were tongue-tied. You know that's right. You couldn't do it. You were like a dummy. But my, if you were filled with the Holy Ghost, you would have the characteristic of not only love for their souls, but liberty to utter and witness for Christ. And not only to have the liberty, but have special power. Special power in your utterance. Who can tell the power of a word of witness from the lips of a heart of a man or woman that's filled with the Holy Ghost? That word shall not return unto God void. Could I say, if a person is filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a revolution in their prayer life? Mr. Nicholson used to preach a sermon, The Problem of Prayer. And to many Christians, prayer is a problem. It's a purgatory rather than a paradise. And they don't pray. Why don't you pray? Because you haven't the experience of the Spirit. You see, it tells me in the Bible, if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit will hold a prayer meeting in my heart. That He within my heart will give groanings that cannot be uttered. The real prayer meeting is a prayer meeting where Spirit-filled man and woman have the Holy Ghost in their heart praying such prayer. And Holy Ghost praying brings a Holy Ghost answer. And if we start praying in the Holy Ghost, God will shake our souls, shake our families, shake our neighbors, shake our church, and shake our service for Jesus Christ. That's what we need. We need that prayer, real prayer. And the Bible will become a new book, and you'll get a fresh appetite for it. You'll want to read it. You'll not look on Bible reading as a duty. I must read my chapter today. May the Lord make it a short chapter and not too long. If you ate food to the ration, that you rationed spiritual food, you would be in a bad state of health. You eat your breakfast, you eat your dinner, you eat your tea, and some of you eat a big supper, and some of you have a lot of tea breaks in between. How many tea breaks do you have with the Bible? How far is it in the neglected book? Now, there's no use you saying, I read my Bible more, for you'll not. But if God fills you with the Holy Ghost, you will read it. You'll want to read it. You'll even say, I'll do without my dinner. I'll do without my supper, but I must read the Word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I must read the Bible. Old George Moody, 70 years of age, retired from feeding orphans. He prayed in 1.5 million of money to feed orphans. And he never told anybody his need. He just told it to the Lord. And at 70, he retired to evangelize the world. And from 70 to 90, he evangelized the world and won thousands and tens of thousands across the whole world to Christ. What a man. And when he was in Canada on the first leg of his world tour, a man said to him, I understand you're over 70. You're the youngest person over 70 I've ever seen. Have you got a diet? He says, I have. He said, would you give me that diet? Well, he says, I don't need to give you. You have several copies of it at home. He says, what do you mean? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Mueller had learned the secret of feeding his soul. How famished is your soul? But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you will love the book. And there'll be something else. There'll be a warmth in your soul. A warmth. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us by the way? And when we handle the Word of God and seek God in this book, a strange warmth will come within our soul. A holy fire will burn within us. And we will be seeking. We will be seeking God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And then there will be that Word fulfilled in our hearts. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you have joy unspeakable and full of glory? Yeah. I look in some of your faces, you don't know very much of it. Let me tell you this, my friend, this is what God wants for you. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Heaven begun within the believer's heart. Not by efforts of our own. Sin's dominion crushed and broken by the power of grace alone. You say, preacher, how can I receive the fullness of the Spirit? How can I obey this word from Paul, be filled with the Spirit? I'll tell you how. You need full confession of all known sin. Sin and the Holy Ghost do not live or abide together. He is the Holy Spirit of God. Whatever sin you have, and you say, well, preacher, to be honest, I have sins and I haven't got the victory over them. My friend, you haven't brought them to the blood. You haven't confessed them. You haven't forsook them. Don't make excuses. Victory is there for you. And God wants you to have that victory, and it's there by full confession of sin. You can't break the power of sin or rid your soul of sin, but thank God you can confess it. And the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Secondly, you need a definite trust in the power of the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Then you need obedience right up to the light that you have received. If God has taught you something in the Bible and you're kicking the pricks, and you're not bowing in obedience, then you'll not be filled with the Spirit. But when you surrender all to Him and make a complete sellout to Christ and say to Christ from the depth of your soul, here is my body, I make it a living sacrifice. But Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Oh, see me on the altar lay, my life, my soul this very day, to crown the offering now I pray, Lord, send the fire. That's the experience we must have. A full, complete, and total surrender to God. No back rooms in our heart that you haven't given God the key of. No secret things that you have held the control of. All surrendered totally and absolutely. And then we have that great word in Luke 11:13. And what a word it is. Mark it in your Bible. Come back to it often. Luke 11:13. Here's the promise of God to the praying saint. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. The blessed Spirit is already in your heart if you're a redeemed child of God. He wants you to ask Him to take over. He wants you to ask Him to present your body a living sacrifice and say, oh, blessed Spirit, I'm tired of battling on my own. I'm tired of defeats. I'm tired of prayerlessness. I'm tired of making Bible reading a duty instead of luxury. I'm tired of being a dummy when I should speak and witness to souls about God's great redemption. Oh, God, blessed God, the Holy Ghost, fill me. Take this body of mine and empty it. Take this body of mine and break it. Take this body of mine and cleanse it. Take this body of mine and fill it with thyself. God will do it. He says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. My friend, this is what I need. This is what you need. This is what every child of God needs. To be constantly filled with the Spirit of God. And God can do it now in your life. How do I know I'm saved? Because the Bible tells me. How do I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible tells me. The same good book that promises me eternal life promises me the infilling of the Holy Spirit if I ask God for it. This is something that we need to seek and ask God for and pray through. I want to ask you to sing with me as a prayer as we finish this meeting. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine. 411 in our book. I don't want you to stand, I want you just to bow your heads in the seat where you are and make it the prayer of our heart. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean. Whatever surrender you have to make it, friend. Whatever sin you have, confess it, friend. Whatever has made you a failure in God's work, have done with it now. And from your heart, pray for a heart that's true and clean. A heart that has love for all. And a heart that is a soul on fire for God. 411. Let's make it the prayer of our heart. Heavenly energy, a willing mind, a ready hand to do whatever I know to spread thy light wherever I may go. I want, dear Lord, a soul on fire for thee. I want, dear outward appearance, but God looks on our hearts. We need the constant, continual infilling of the Holy Ghost. And once again, I would say, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost,
to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And we thank Thee that we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children. How much shall our Heavenly Father, who is the purest of the pure, the holiest of the holy, will He give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? Lord, may hearts here seek and find the blessed infilling of the Spirit of God. May they allow the Holy Ghost to take over their hearts, their homes, their business, their service for Christ, their labors for the Savior. May they get their priorities right. And, oh God, may they seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto them. Oh God, give us an outpouring of the Spirit of God into all our lives, into all our hearts, and into all our service. For Jesus' sake, and the people of God said, Amen.